The truth of the matter. Answering questions people are asking with biblical truth. The truth of the matter is brought to you by Vision Media, an outreach ministry of Southside Baptist Church in Lakeland, Georgia.
We know this. When God opens a door, there'll always be adversaries. There'll always be opposition. When God opened this door for David, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 28 through 36 really tells us that David fought the first battle, the hardest battle first. It wasn't Goliath that was the hardest battle. The hardest battle was with his brother Eliab and King Saul. They tried to discourage him from doing what God was leading him to do. The Bible says in verse 28, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard what he said, and his anger burned against David. And he asked him, he says, "Why have you come down?" And listen to what he says to him. "And with whom have you left those few sheep?" He belittles him. He says, "Who in the world do you think you are, you little shepherd boy? To come down here and fight a giant, who do you think you are?" So he couldn't discourage David. So guess who's next? Saul. The king calls David in and he says, "David, you mean to tell me you're going to try to fight this giant?" Listen to what he tells him. He says, "David, you're a youth. You're young. This guy's been a warrior since he was young." See, Eliab falsely accuses David. Saul actually uses reason. I'll ask you the question. Was David young? Yes. Had Goliath been a warrior since he was young? Yes. Naturally speaking, would Goliath defeat David? Yes. Everything Saul said to him was true in the flesh, but not in the spirit. And so he tries to discourage him. Listen, everyone in this building who listens to God and attempts to do anything with your life for the glory of God, you are going to experience discouragement and criticism, and there's going to be plenty of people out there who are going to try to stop you from doing what you know God has called you to do. We all know this, but I want to say it again. There are some people who criticize so much and so well, you would think they get paid for it. Wouldn't you? I mean, paid good for it. Because they're out there. They're in the church. As a matter of fact, here's what I want to say to you. Don't ever be surprised at where the discouragers come from. This was his family. This was the political leader of the world who was there discouraging David. So I want to encourage you today that if you are being discouraged by someone, realize this. We've come to a place, many Christians have come to a place where they say this, "Boy, if I don't have 100% support, must not be God." You cannot be serious. Everything that you do for God is going to meet opposition. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 9, Paul was dealing with this. Here's what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 16, 9, Paul said this. He said, "A wide door for effective ministry has opened to me." And boy, we say, yay. How many of you ever prayed, "God, open a door. God, open doors for me"? Here's what Paul says. All right, when you pray for it, and when God swings the doors open, look what he says. "And there are many adversaries." So when God swings doors open, here's what you can look for. You can look for the enemy. You can look for the world. All kind of opposition to come against you to try to stop what God is doing. So he opens this door, and here comes Eliab and Saul to discourage him. The third thing we see in the story that's so important is ultimate motive. Why you do what you do really does matter. See, the soldiers, when David got there, they were all scared to death. They were concerned about self-preservation, but David was concerned about God exaltation. If you're concerned about self-preservation, you'll never go far with the Lord. But if you're concerned about God exaltation, you'll be amazed at where God will take you. See, when David first got to the battlefield, here's what they said. They said, "David, whoever defeats Goliath, Saul's going to give him his daughter in marriage." And then he said this, not only is Saul going to give him his daughter in marriage, but he's also going to be free from taxes in Israel. You know, I've always thought that's interesting, that Saul's going to give you, I'd say, wouldn't you say this? "Could I see her first?" Maybe that's just me. But anyway, and he says he's going to be free from taxes in Israel. In other words, he's going to get the king's wife. He's going to be free from taxes in Israel. And this is what they're saying. This is the earthly reward, David, for those who fight. Now, here's what David does. David's not interested in the earthly reward. David's not interested in the applause of man. David says, I'm going to fight this giant. But he says, this is why I'm going to fight him. Look at it with me. My one favorite passage in the whole text, it says this in verse 46. David says, this day the Lord will deliver you, Goliath, into my hands. I will strike you down. I'll remove your head from you. I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky, wild beasts of the earth. Look at the last part. Why, David? Why will you do that? Why will you risk your life? Look what he says. That all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Does everybody see that? David says, look, he says, look, this is more than about me. This is more than, this is good. He says, this is even more than about Israel. He says, look, Goliath, when I get done putting you face down on the dirt, the whole earth is going to say there's a God in Israel. David says, this is about the world. This is about God. This is about the world acknowledging that there's only one true God. What would happen in our church if all of us began to exist for the glory of God? What would happen this morning if we just shucked every other motive, and we said, man, when I sing, I'm going to sing for the glory of God. When I teach, I'm going to teach for the glory of God. When I sweep the floor at the church, I'm going to sweep the floor for the glory of God. When I do a one, I'm going to do a one for the glory of God. When I secretary, I'm going to secretary for the glory of God. When I do everything I do, it's going to be for His glory. What would it do? It'd change the world. Because, see, let's all be honest. There's times we do it for the glory of us. There's times we promote Southside more than we do Jesus. This is about Him. And David says, when Goliath falls flat on his face, the whole earth is going to say, there's a God in Israel. Not that there's a David in Israel. There is a God in Israel. David says, I'm so small, I'm so insignificant, I'm supposed to get crushed in this, and so when I get done with you, Goliath, everybody's going to know I didn't do it. Everybody's going to say this was God. Now, back up, Southside. Can I ask you a question? I know when we talk about going to the nations from Lakeland, that there are those out there who go, this, the world. There are those who sit in our thing and go, does he know how big the world is? But can I remind you something? Read it for yourself. Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, from the very beginning of Scripture, it was always about God being recognized and glorified in the earth. All through Scripture, and then we land in the New Testament, and Jesus looks at 12 guys in Matthew chapter number 28. He looks at 12 guys and he says this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore into all of the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Listen to this. Jesus said that to 120 people. There was 250 million people on the planet. He was serious. See, for us, here's what I believe. I believe for a church our size, a ministry our size in rural South Georgia, to go to the nations, think about that, that God has called us to go to all of the world, beginning right here in our Jerusalem. You're saying, Brother Austin, what are you trying to do in this part of the story? I'm trying to do for this what David said. I want our motive as a church, listen, to be the glory of God in all the earth.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the truth of the matter today. I want to remind you that you can pay us a visit on the web at thetruthofthematter.com or southsidelakeland.org. If you go there, you can find our messages, and we also love to hear from you so you can contact us. We also want to invite you out to our churches. Cornerstone begins at 9 o'clock a.m. on Sunday morning. Southside begins at 10:45 a.m. in Lakeland. And we also have wonderful Wednesday nights for children, youth, as well as adults at both churches. So we would love to have you come out. At Southside in Lakeland, we also have a preschool, Bright Beginnings. And so if you're interested in that, go to the website. You can contact us from there. Again, that is southsidelakeland.org. Thank you again for tuning in. Hope you enjoy the rest of this message.
I preached this over at Cornerstone A girl wrote me on the way here, not a girl, a lady, sweet lady from the church over here. Listen to what she wrote me. When I was preaching this, she turned to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Here's what she said to me. She said, why would you, God, give it to us if you didn't really mean it? Talking about the Great Commission, the earth, the world. She's writing this as if she's writing it to God. She said, God, why would you give it to us if you didn't mean it? Really mean it. For me and for Cornerstone. So she's for Cornerstone. She said, don't miss verse 18. Has to be the key to verse 19 and 20. The power is in him. Not with me or the church. There's got to be a way to fulfill verses 19 and 20 from right here. And she's got three exclamation points. She's believing. She's starting to believe. From right here in Homerville, that we can go to the world from here. Then she says, what is Cornerstone's responsibility? What is my responsibility, she says. And then she goes on a long string. Look at this. What is my family's responsibility? What responsibility do I have for my gifts? What responsibility do I have for my resources, my money? Why did God give me my friends? Why do I have my job? Boy, I love the way she's thinking. She sees probably 100 people a week as a doctor. She says, why did God give me my friends? Why did God give me my job? Why did he give us Cornerstone? And then she puts these words, I love it. Why here? Why now? Why Homerville? Can we plug Lakeland into that? Begin to start thinking the way God thinks. Begin to understand that we exist so that God will be glorified in all of the earth. Stop thinking petty and small. And like David, say this, that boy, when I get done with you, Goliath, the whole earth's going to know there's a God in Israel. So ultimate motive matters. Why we do what we do. He was saying, I'm doing this not for earthly gain, but for the glory of God. Letter D, in a hurry. What you do with your giants will determine what your giants do to you. You have them. See, life's full of them. A giant, by biblical definition, is anything you can't defeat on your own. No, you can't. You don't have what it takes. You're facing a circumstance, a situation, and a giant, by definition, is something that's in your life that you just can't defeat on your own, but that God can. Anybody have a giant today? Anybody got a giant that's between where you are, and maybe, again, it's a thought that you just can't seem to overcome? A person, I was again talking about divine opportunities. I ordered a pizza last night and went up there to get the pizza. Walked in, there's probably 20 people in that little room to get the pizza. And I ran into one in there that I know, and I just spoke to her. I said, hey, how are you doing? She said, I'm great. And she walked outside with me and she began to share with me. She said, Brother Austin, she said, I got a child, a daughter. She said, she's about to drive me crazy. She said, I have tried to do everything I know to do to help her and to get her to see the error of her way. And she said, you know what I finally had to do? And she didn't know I was preaching about this morning. Here's what she said to me. She said, I did everything I knew to do. I've talked till I'm blue in the face. She said, you know what I finally realized? She said, I finally realized I couldn't do anything with her. So I just finally gave it to the Lord. That's what she said. And you can see the peace on her face. I mean, when she was saying it, she could say, you know what? She wasn't cutting up. She wasn't trying to impress the preacher. Here's what she said. She said, I fought him. I fought that giant, and I fought that giant. She said, you know, I couldn't beat it. She was stubborn, hard-headed, won't listen to anything. I can't make her do anything. So finally, she said, I realized I can't beat her, so I just gave her to the Lord. Just gave her to the God. You say, Austin, what does that got to do with it? Listen to what David says here. In verse number 47, he says, and that all of this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear. Then he says this, for the battle is the Lord's. You know why you're so stressed out? Because you're fighting all your battles on your own. Every challenge that comes along, you feel like that you've got to handle it, you've got to defeat it, you've got to beat it. And David says this. David says, you know why I'm not stressed about this, Goliath? He said, because I gave this battle to the Lord. Now God's going to use me in it, but this is between you and God. Can I encourage somebody or some group of people in this room in just a moment when we give this invitation, because you're so stressed and you came to church this morning and you're battling and you're fighting and you just can't seem to get victory. Can I encourage you to do something for me? I know you don't have to come to an altar. I know that. You don't have to tell me all of that. But I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I'm going to ask you to step out of your pew. I want you to walk down here with your giant. And I want you to come to this altar, and I want you to place that giant, that battle, that thing you're fighting, I want you to put it on this altar by faith and tell God, God, this is yours. I'll pick up a sling. I'll pick up rocks. I'll do anything you tell me to do, but the battle is yours. And leave it there. And watch what God does. I didn't say he'd do it today. I didn't say he won't do it today. But the battle is the Lord's. Will you give it to him today? I hope so. Let me close as these guys come right here. The Bible says that all of us faced an enemy called death. All of us. 1 Corinthians 15 says this. It says that, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The scripture teaches us that death lost its sting. That the enemy that we have, all of us, born into this world, the enemy we call death lost its sting. You know why? Not because you defeated it. You can't defeat it. You know who defeated death? You know who defeated that great big giant called death? Jesus. Because the scripture says that when Jesus went to the cross, you know what he did? He said, here's the gospel in a nutshell. The Bible says this, that when he went to the cross, he took the sins of the world upon himself. And he died there. The Bible says he cried out to the Father. All the sins of the world, the wrath of the Father poured out on him. What was God doing there? Jesus Christ was bearing the sins of the world. God was judging the sins of the world on his Son. And God in that moment, think about this, and then he dies. And man, the disciples, they scatter. And then 3 days later, think about the story. 3 days later, Jesus is laying in the tomb on a cold slab. His old dead body is laying there on that tomb. And 3 days later, the Bible says in Romans that the Spirit of God came in and resurrected him. Life. Brought him back to life. What does that have to do with David and Goliath? Everything. Because in that moment, the one who said, I'm going to die for the sins of the world now, here he is, and he's resurrected, and he's alive. And the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 15, here's what it says. O grave, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? What happened? What happened when Jesus was resurrected? Death lost its power. Our number one enemy lost all of his power. All because of Jesus. See, he fought that battle too. You know why? You know why? Because you can't. You can't defeat it. You die without Christ, you are forever, eternally lost, separated. But God so loved the world, God so loved the world that he took his Son, he won the victory on the cross, and at the resurrection, he defeated that giant called death. If you've never trusted Christ, and I pray today that you'll take this, that you'll take that giant, sin and death. You'll trust God. That God will give you victory today. You're in here right now, man, and you're discouraged. Because somebody's just discouraged, just like David, but you didn't respond like David. Today you're discouraged. I pray you'll come this morning. Somebody will come and put their hand on your back and pray with you. Maybe you're in here right now and you want to say to God, Lord, I'll become more aware of what you're doing around me. God, I won't see all of these mundane opportunities, just whatever they are. God, I'll begin to look for opportunities to glorify your name. Whatever God's saying to you, I pray this morning, if you've got a battle, you fought that thing and you fought it, why don't you come today once and for all, lay that battle before God and say, Lord, the battle is yours. The battle is the Lord's. I hope you will.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the message today, and we want to thank you so much for tuning in. So many of you in the area tell us that you listen to the radio broadcast, and it means so much to us. So thank you. We ask you to please pray for this ministry, that God would continue to use it to reach many people with the best news they'll ever hear, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you again for tuning in.